What's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Pitching In on this fine Friday morning in Pittsburgh. I'm Jason Mackey, alongside, as always, Fort McHenry. Fort, what's going on, my man? How are you, sir?
I'm good. Just chilling in my basement, kind of redoing it. So I'm sitting in my favorite chair.
Okay.
Lounging
around. Yeah, so Fort is mid-technical adjustments or technical tweaks. We are crossing our fingers that equipment makes it through this podcast.
We've never had any problems with that. Not ever.
Great time to retell the story, Fort. It's almost our podcast is coming up on its year anniversary.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You don't remember? Get out of.
Well, I did not push the record button, so we recorded it twice the first time,
and then, it was like an hour and a half, by the way.
It was good. It still may to today be our best work that you know,
never
that's kind of what happens, you know, when you put, you know, that much time and effort and how beautiful that was. We just burned it. That's what it was. Ultimately, we were like, this just doesn't need to see the light of day. Then don't forget the one I forgot to push record on the audio one, like a moron. And that one literally was maybe. Like, we were in flow. You were in the car. I don't know if that's your happy place, but you were just lights.
I forgot about that.
Out that day. Like,
that was spring, driving back from some game somewhere. I don't remember. You know, you're on the road forever for these spring training. Yeah, I remember that.
And everything was fresh. And you were just like Eminem in a rap battle that day. I'll never forget it. One day that's just going to pop up on my phone.
Go
back and listen to it.
I want to think of the places that would be more absurd to see me in than a rap battle. You can count them on one hand. Anybody who knows me, that's not my thing, man.
What about a dance off? You ever danced?
That might be one of the ones.
Those are the two right there, just right out of the gate.
There's a better chance of me dropping off Christmas presents on December 25th, to quote my buddy George Liotis, than it is to rap battle or dance. I'm a hang in the corner and just drink and laugh kind of guy. I'm not an up on stage, look at me, you know, I'm gonna dance, sing, be the star of the show. Like, that's just not me, man. I think everybody knows that by now. So, all right, we got a lot of stuff to dive into this week, man. I'm really excited about this. Adam and I did one of these yesterday or 2 days ago. I think that's when it went live. And it was one flavor of what the Pirates are doing. We've had some more news. It's been a busy week and there's more stuff to get to. I want to talk to you specifically, given your history and knowledge about the Pirates catching situation and what the heck they do in 2024. That's your interactive question here. Who's your starting catcher for 2024? And I'm saying that to viewers on YouTube. I don't know the answer to that. I think it's an interesting thing to sort of pick away at and what their plan might be. Ford, I want to get into a little bit of free agency stuff, like what their next move is. Could there be a trade? What is going on there? There's some interesting stuff. We also got some news, unfortunate news for both of us, on Robbie Inkes-Mikowski. I pronounce his name differently every time, by the way. My man needs some more vowels, but Robbie, it won't be returning for Sportsnet Pittsburgh and the new TV stuff. We'll get into that TV deal, that sort of stuff. You know, what that means for the Pirates. Right now, though, man, I want to talk some baseball. I want to talk a little bit catching. Andy Rodriguez out with an elbow injury, basically Tommy John, and fixing a flexor tendon strain. It does not seem good. Basically a year off from baseball activities. Big shakeup for their catching depth chart. What are your reactions, Fort? Where do the Pirates go from here?
Uncle is the first one.
Uncle who? And Kenny Ketch.
Uncle Death. Yeah. Kenny Ketch. It's Uncle Eddie and no. With Oviedo and Indy, I mean, that's just a huge blow. I think the one thing I always think about is you're going to give someone else an opportunity. Someone's got to step up, and hopefully it's in a big way. We never got to see Indy blossom in the big league, so we don't really know exactly what we'll be missing. Oviedo, I think, is a bigger factor, you know, when you think about how the team's put together, you know, moving forward because of what we know he's capable of. But I think Indy was going to have a huge year, but now he can learn, he can grow and get better. And honestly, Mackey, I don't know what they're going to do. Delay's never caught as a everyday guy anywhere except at Vanderbilt. So that load is going to be really tough. I think if we could paint a perfect picture, Henry Davis is going to be the guy that takes the majority of the load, but they don't believe in him, and he's got to believe in himself, and the staff has to, you know, want to throw to him. So there's a lot of question marks. I think they're still out on the market looking for options and going to kind of figure it out in spring training. It doesn't sound from my boots on the ground that they're going to go in with any settled scenario. And a lot of times when they go into spring training, as you know, they settle into a scenario like this is the best case. You know, if this happens, this could, you know, maybe potentially be the tandem that we go with. But I think it's going to be a group of guys and they're going to figure it out as they go. And it's always going to be defense pitching oriented first. So we got to look at it like that. If Henry's hitting, he may get more time back there, but I don't think it's going to be the bulk unless he really handles that pitching staff well. And I don't know enough about the new kid, and he's got 5 at bats. And I think he was more of a depth option anyways. And maybe a good depth option with defense first in mind, but we'll see.
I've got a suggestion. I want to see what happens here. I'm going to get to it in a second. I did want to remind you guys.
Oh, what a tease.
I know, right?
What a tease.
Almost like I knew what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah. Pitching In, it's brought to you as always by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone, which, by the way, I had last night. It was outstanding. Open every day in the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone or your steak on a stone. So they had that Christmas party thing for it last night with everybody from Mike's Beer Bar. They invited a bunch of people down. I was part of the local celebrities, which is such a crock of, you know what, like I'm not a celebrity. I fight that tooth and nail.
Yes, you are.
No,
you save it.
You are a celebrity, brother. No. I am not. I am a writer. No.
I hit a ball for a living. You are a celebrity.
I type.
So that's your tool. That's your weapon of choice.
I guess. I'm a one tool player though. Yeah.
And hey, we should announce. I officially have been to North Shore Tavern.
You have
with Jason Mackey. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Went Monday. It was outstanding.
Yep.
I could not stop eating those wings.
I know, man. They were good, weren't they?
They were.
You didn't stick around long enough, though. You had to head out and go Christmas shopping. At the end of the night, we didn't finish them, and so they just gave us a bunch of boxes. This was for a Post-Gazette like sports department party that we had, and Fort swung by. So at the end of the night, there's a tray of wings that we didn't get to, and they just handed out boxes, and so we're taking home sandwiches and wings and all the extras. And yep, had a few of them yesterday, buddy. They're very good.
Drop one on the floor today if you have one. Just see you, Michael. Take it of you.
Oh boy. Yeah. No, they're gone. So all right, I agree with everything you're saying about the catching stuff. I do think it's fascinating about Henry Davis, and I agree that I don't think they completely trust him, but I think they're gonna have to trust him. He's gonna have to show them that he can do this. And I think they need to go into this with a fresh lens on it. Like if you're telling Henry Davis you're 1-1 pick this offseason, like now it makes sense, but you're saying, dude, you're catching. We need you to figure this out. I've got a lot of faith that Henry Davis is going to figure it out. I think it's going to be interesting.
Me too.
But my name is Jacob Stallings, my interesting one. I believe he's still on the market. The Marlins DFA'd him. You won't find a better human being in the game. If you want to prioritize defense, obviously you're not getting any base running. That's okay. I could still make cheetah jokes, but you're not getting any base running. And he's going to hit a little bit. I think he's going to be serviceable. If nothing else, he's going to give you options, flexibility with Davis and DeLay. Davis or DeLay could go to the minors if need be. If you need to put Henry in right field, you can. Again, it's an unsexy solution, but I know that Jacob Stallings would come in here and handle a pitching staff just fine. He would have zero problems with the defensive parts of his job. I think he would probably come relatively cheap. And if he got pushed to a background backup role, you're not going to insult him. Like it's just making sure that you have a competent catcher at the major leagues at all times.
Well, if we're going names, I'm going Tom Murphy.
You a mayor? No?
Yeah. Not sure. No. Played with him in Colorado. Just a load of talent. Been a backup in Seattle the last couple of years. Has a hard time staying healthy. But high side is huge. I mean, he's got pop from the right side. He handles the pitching staff. Really good receiver. I think he'd be someone that could fit really well with his, you know, want to and attitude to – you know, just be really, really good. And I know I just talked to the guy that's working with him hitting wise and one of his former coaches, and said he's in great, I didn't have to know this, but he's in great shape. He's moving well. Injury's not bothering him. And he's a guy that can come in, throws well, handles the staff, and that bat has a lot of upside in it.
Interesting. For last season with Seattle, 47 games, 290 average, 873 OPS, 8 homers.
He's got pop. He's got a lot of juice
in there, buddy.
Yep. And it kind of gives that balance of, you know, he's been proven to hit as a backup. Not a lot of guys do. He can receive. Blocking's been, you know, at times tough, but that staff is really, really tough. So I think he could be a great fit. And it fell through with the Astros when he was going to sign with them. So he's still free agent.
How's the defense?
It's good. It's good. And I think it'll click up with a team like the Pirates and, okay, and him and DeLay. And also, like, he'd be great for Henry Davis. Same personality, just more serial killer instead of like this all over the place a little. But very analytical, very methodical in what they want to do. But Murph would be really good for both those guys.
You haven't convinced me to come off of Jacob Stallings yet, but that's okay.
I love Jacob.
You don't need to. I might be insane, and I'll wear it. That's all right.
No. I think that's a great sign. And I think that all boils down to what we're going to talk about here in a minute is who they signed elsewhere. You know, if they go out and get, you know, like I wanted Kiermaier. I don't know if he signed yet, but I mean, if they go out and get him, yeah, go get Jacob Stallings because we added a defensive plus outfielder that has some pop in the bat. I'm good with that. But until they do that, you know, I'm not going to be all in on Stallings because then you have, you know, two guys that haven't caught every single day.
Yeah.
Splitting time with Henry Davis, hopefully taking the lead. That'd be a tough situation.
I'm trying to pull up a list and I finally got it. It's such a blind spot for me just in life. Like I don't remember names, lists. Like if I need to look at the MLB divisions, sorry, this is like a sideways point. I have to call up the standings. Like I can't remember. And I do this multiple times a day, every day. It just like, it does not stick for me. So I wanted to pull up a list of catchers.
And need a system update, Mackie.
Yeah, no. I need more than a system update.
Me too.
I'm running like iPhone 3 stuff up here these days. I can't even figure out a Mac programming, but it was a long time ago. And boy, Stallings, minus 1.6 war. I didn't realize it was that low. Mm-hmm. That's not ideal. Tom Murphy, 1.3. Maybe I'll just shush and listen to the person who was a catcher in Major League.
Well, hey, listen, if someone didn't bring his name up and I didn't have a great conversation with some people that know him really well, I wouldn't have thought about him. And I have some other names, but he's one that, like, it could surprise a lot of people. And I'm afraid he's going to sign back with Seattle, but if someone asks, that's who I would say call.
Okay. Do you think there's a chance they go that route? Because I'm sort of on the fence with knowing what other holes they have to plug, like knowing how much they're sort of looking at pitching and they Kutch and them, you know, Rowdy Tellez at first. I don't think they're going to do anything else there. But like looking at the rest of their situation, I don't know if they're going to spend or do a whole lot with catcher. Do you see that?
They're going to do something.
Something.
I don't know what. Yeah, I mean whether it's a minor league free agent that has quite a bit of big league service time, they're going to do something that, you know, solidifies that spot because it's so valuable now. So, yeah. And I think DeLay's outstanding. I think he's a shoe-in. But like I said, I mean, I had to play the role of like starting for a couple months, backing up, and it's not easy. Like even getting more playing time, not necessarily is easy because you're so used to doing the opposite. And you got to find that balance. I think it'd be really good to let him win that role and then kind of mold into it if that happens.
Yep.
But you got to have a compliment to start. Have to.
What about you? You dust him off? You still get back there.
I could. I would do it. I would go into camp and go.
Nope. Fort broke the microphone. There he is.
First one. First technical difficulty,
all right.
Mackie.
All right.
Just strike one, though.
Strike just one. You get three. You're out.
You can't throw out, dust it off, and me not get excited and move around. I'm like a little kid. I almost started blocking in my basement, man.
No. By the By the way, in spring, I want you to bring your stuff. You probably will anyway. I will, yeah. But we should absolutely film pitching in where I throw to you. You'll get to work on a lot of blocking that way.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I'll be actually doing some catching this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Friday. Yeah. I have a kid coming in town. I mentor. And,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'll be getting after it with him. Yeah, it'll be fun.
So, yeah, I'm curious what they end up doing here, whether this falls more into a trade. Like, if they would do something, I feel like it might be a part of a trade that they pull off. But you're also talking me into Tom Murphy. So, I don't know. We'll see. It does seem thin, though, man. It seems very difficult if you say we're banking on Henry Davis and Jason DeLay. You've got one guy who has literally caught two innings at the major leagues and you deemed not good enough to catch in a major league game for most of his tenure here until he got hurt, blah, blah, blah. Jason DeLay has never caught more than 70 games in a season. And you're saying like, this is going to be your platoon for the entire year. Like that's correct. A pretty big bet with your backup is Ollie Sanchez. Doesn't have to lead to Jacob Stallings. Although like I'm just partial to him. I think there's plenty there that would be like no maintenance and wouldn't take much. And you wouldn't insult him by saying, okay, Jake, I know you came in here to sort of like, be steady, but Henry's made some progressions. He's gotten better. You're now the backup. Like that would go fine. But yeah, it's an interesting thing to follow for sure.
Yeah. And don't be surprised. Something that, Ben Cherington is known for in the past is signing guys like Jacob Stallings to a minor league deal, overpaying them to get him here. And then, you know, let him, you know, fight it out in spring. If he doesn't make it, he's going to want to take that money.
Yeah.
Or you have a trade option in spring. If something else works out. So that's definitely something that we're going to see Ben Cherington do over the next year or two as we continue to move in the right direction. Yep. He's going to sign guys and we're going to have major league ready players at the minor leagues because you need it. It's like Chris Owings last year. I mean, he's a great example. He's a guy that didn't get a lot of playing time in the major leagues, but if you needed a shortstop that was sure-handed and you knew he's going to be a great clubhouse guy, you had him there. And that's what you need. Not necessarily as bat, but that's exactly how you build a winning ball club with depth.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see him shoot higher than Chris Owings. I'm not going to lie. I mean,
I was just using
I know what you're getting. Example. I know what you're getting.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on a little bit. If it's not catching, what's the next domino to fall here? Or maybe the next domino is catching. I don't know. But I mean, we see Rowdy Tellez the other night. You know, there's the Endy stuff. Like, I think pitching is still the very much like to add on the pitching side. Who knows if that's going to be what externally people want or if it's going to be some sort of like, you know, gum and duct tape fix like we've seen before. I don't know. But, I mean, what's the next domino in your opinion?
Pitching. Pitching and Kutch are my two.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, those are my two. I know we
not
need.
Not together. I'm not advocating Kutch should pitch. I'm done with that.
Hey, he used to have a bazooka. Maybe it's like Henry Roengartner.
Just took down my cabinet.
Oh, that was great. That was great. Right. Yeah. So, what about you? I really believe they're going to get a righty. Love to see a veteran or somebody, and I'd love to see a trade.
Yeah,
of some sort. So we have somebody that's going to stay here for more than a year.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the window where they probably get Kutch on fairly expeditiously. Let me use an SAT word for a second. I think that works. I don't think it'll be too much longer. I mean, they have to get pitching. They absolutely have to get pitching. If it's a right-hander, if it's a left-hander, if it's both, if it's via trade, if it's via free agency, I don't know. That's been sort of my argument, and this can we'll bring the Rowdy Tellez discussion in here as well, where I really don't have an issue with the Rowdy Tellez thing. I think their need with pitching is so great. And I would love for the Pirates to spend $140 million every year. That would be great. I'm trying to be realistic on what they're going to do. Like take your opinion out of it. Like whether we think that's good or bad or doesn't matter. The most likely thing is for them to spend, you know, $80 million, $85 million. Like that's about what it tracks at incrementally. So if you assume that, you only have so many dollars left. I would prefer those dollars to go to pitching. Like if you tell me you've got to live with Rowdy Tellez and a Connor Joe platoon at first base, but we're going to go get pitching, I'll take the pitching. I think that's a bigger thing. So yes, they need to figure that out. They need to figure that out a couple different ways. I mean, right now their starting rotation is Mitch Keller and Marco Gonzalez and a couple like prayers that they're hoping, you know, Contreras, Priester, Ortiz figure it out. I hope they do too. They're all good kids, but I mean, there's no certainty there. So yeah, to me, whatever you have to do to get pitching. And even I understand why it's taken so long. I do. I'm not overreacting to it being December 14th and they only acquired one pitcher. Like, sometimes these things are going to take longer than people on the outside might want, and that's fine. I understand it. But when it comes down to it, I mean, they still have a long way to go with adding pitching.
Yeah, and to elaborate a little bit on why it's taking so long is Ohtani holds up the whole market. He handcuffs the entire market. Really does.
I thought you were making a joke for a second.
No, he really does, because what ends up happening is all those teams have a pecking order of who they want to go after, and they'll offer dollars and cents. And a lot of times, you know, people wait around to see what happens. You know, is he going to go to San Fran? Is he going to go to LA? And then it starts trickling down. Same thing with agencies. Like, their big guy kind of gets the lead. So a lot of these guys that are more top tier,
yeah,
you know, as they maybe sign, you're going to see things start to fall. And I believe we're close. I hope it's with a trade. Like I said, I would love to see Blake Snell sign in Seattle. I've said this time and time again. And then them want to give up, you know, some of their young prospects. And we make a trade some way there, because they need some depth. They need some athletic young utility guys. I think it would better their roster. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out. But, yeah, we need pitching so bad. We cannot let those – young guys get abused and, you know, kind of lose hope in who they are as a major leaguer. We saw a little bit of that last year. And two, like you said, that reality of understanding of, hey, I've been here, I've done it before, is so reassuring when you walk into a season. It'll take the load off those guys of thinking they have to do too much, and they can go be who they are. And then when their time's called, they're ready.
There's just such a large – getting a phone call from a number that I don't recognize. My apologies. No, I mean, there's also a pretty big log jam here for it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going through the list of free agents again. I had it pulled up for the catching stuff. But, I mean, if you look at Manaea, Montas, Wood, Flaherty, Cueto, like, that's all, you know, 2.1 to 1.7 war-ish. You know, I go down to Matthew Boyd, James Paxton, Luke Weaver. I'm not saying the Pirates are going to sign any of those guys. I'm just, like, names in that cluster. You know, Spencer Turnbull, Madison Bumgarner, Chris Flexen. Again, not saying these, but I mean, these are all within, like, two wins above replacement. And if you look at the top tier of that group, which is, again, not necessarily the top tier of the class, they're looking at deals where, you know, Lance Lynn got, what, $10, $11 million. Wade Correct. Miley got a seven plus incentives and another option. Kenta Maeda got 2 years, you know, what, like 14 mil. So, I mean, you're going to try to get at least what people ahead of you signed for. Like, you're not going to settle for something else. And at minimum, you've got some miles on your tires as a major league player. You probably want to win. And you're going to wait and see, like, man, okay, maybe the Mets are going to make me an offer. I can be a fifth start. Maybe the Braves need somebody. I don't know. Maybe the Phillies. I don't know why I went through the whole NL East. But, like, you know, you're sitting there hoping that somebody's going to make an offer. Now, when they don't, I think your switch kind of flips. And we've gone through this before. But it goes to, I got to get a job. I got to get my career back on track. Okay, maybe I overshot myself. It's now after New Year's. Like, you know, let's make sure we're in a rotation spot. You know, and the calculus changes. And just right now, where the Pirates are shopping, I don't see why any of these guys would be enticed to sign with them right now. It's not for lack of effort. It's not because the Pirates aren't willing to pay him. It's just like, what can we do right now to convince Zach Davies that the Pirates are the place to be versus the Blue Jays or the Guardians, or, you know, again, literally just making up teams. But, you know, you need to find a match both ways. So that's the kind of thing I hope that comes together relatively soon.
Yeah. And to talk about that match situation is, like, Baltimore, for example, moved their fences back to be more appealing for free agents to sign in Baltimore. Right. Right. So what we have is what I believe San Diego had in the past, maybe not as much, is we have a great ballpark, especially for left-handed fly yes. ball guys, or a Davies, who's a right-handed fly ball guy. But, like, you said Baumgartner. I assumed he was going to retire. If he's available, I would say, hey, you still have, you know, I think more in the tank, heavily incentivized. If he likes Pittsburgh, if not, he has a chance to kind of elevate his career, because it's a great ballpark for him. signing in Phoenix was a terrible idea. That place is an absolute launching pad.
Yep.
And it didn't fit. I mean, in San Fran, he pitched absolutely outstanding. He moves, he pitches terrible because it's a completely different animal. And I think if you do that, I'd love to see a Wood or a Baumgartner, a Flaherty high upside. You may have to give a Flaherty 2 years, you know, or
great. Well, I give him the third. I'm fine with it.
But that's what I'm saying is like, there's a risk there. There's a lot of ups and downs for him, but I think that's what you have to do. You just have to be different than everybody else and really pitch that, because we have a good track record since Charrington's been here on lefties coming here and leaving outside of Rich Hill, which he's an anomaly, and really getting better. I mean, even Velasquez was getting better. So it's a chance for guys to build up their stock. And if they want to leave, great. If they want to stay, even better.
Well, I mean, and it's got to be a mix, right? Like just like, I think it's got to be a mix of trade and free agency. It's got to be a mix of guys who are in and out, and then guys who are sticking a little bit. I think, honestly, I mean, this is my perception of the fan base. Maybe anybody who wants to comment here can tell me I'm an idiot and it's fine. It won't be the first time, but if they would go sign Jack Flaherty and then a project lefty, I don't know, pick your poison, is it Baumgartner or somebody, you know, somebody who's lesser, who's cheaper, who doesn't have as much of a track record of recent performance, but they sign Flaherty to like 3 years and then they commit another rotation spot to this lefty. You've got Gonzalez, you've got Keller, and then you basically say, hey, we need one of the young guys to step up and earn a spot. Like, you know, we need Rowanzi, Quinn, or Ortiz. Somebody's going to take that spot, and we want to earmark that for them. Could you be mad about that? I would be completely fine if your rotation was Keller, Flaherty, random pitcher, or whatever, Marco Gonzalez, and Rowanzi Contreras. I'd be good with it. Like, yeah, yes, you'd rather them pour a whole bunch of money in and have like five aces, but I all things considered, I don't think it's that bad. No, and then you've got Brubaker, Burrows, Skeens et al. Coming.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be bad at all. And the only thing I would say is I'd love to see a trade. Like, and if they don't do the Baumgartner or the Wood guys that have had success that didn't have a good year last year, I'd love to see them, you know, use the assets they have, young and older guys, and kind of ship them out and bring in somebody that could be a part of that mix. When you think about JT, you think about Keller, you think about Oviedo, all these guys coming back and being healthy, it could be a lot of fun and very controllable.
Who's on your list of somebody you think you could actually trade? It wouldn't kill the Pirates and they could get something for?
Jiwon Bae, Nick Gonzalez, maybe some of the younger guys in the lower levels that high upside. It depends on how big they want to go. But I mean, Tamar's not far away.
I wouldn't go Tamar. He's untouchable for me.
He is for me too. I'm just saying, like, you're starting to have a backload at second base and up the middle. That's kind of where I would go, as deep as we are there. We don't have enough of bats, period.
Yeah. I don't know how much I see people with value at those levels, right? Like, is anybody going to give you the store for your Danny De Los Santos? I mean, I'm curious to see what De Los Santos becomes. You know, it was a high profile international sign. I don't know. Shaylin Polanco, is somebody going to give you the store for him? Garrett Forrester. I mean, there's some interesting guys. Like, it's nothing against them. I'm just saying, like, I need to swing. And by the way, as I'm looking at this list, for somebody I'm not sort of incorporating enough when I talk about this stuff and give answers is Jackson Wolf. The big lefty they got in the Rich Hill trade doesn't necessarily throw like a big lefty. He's kind of like a little bit more of a funk guy than like, I'm going to blow velo past you. But he's made his MLB debut. And I don't think we talk about him enough as somebody who could possibly be up here.
Yeah. And then, is it Barco?
Barco, Hunter Barco, yeah.
He's been on my watch list for a long time. I think that guy could be in the big leagues this year.
Really? You think so?
Yep. Stuff-wise, yeah.
Stuff-wise, yeah. That would be very atypical for the way they move guys, though. I mean, he finished at Bradenton, made 6 starts.
Yeah, just remember, he's coming off Tommy John. I guess
Ortiz did that, too. I shouldn't – yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but the numbers there off of Tommy John were really good, and that's not typical. I think they're protecting him. Now he's going to be full go. If he starts out the season good, he's going to be older for the level he's in. I think he'll run.
Yeah.
He was projected to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Until you got Tommy John. We took him later, I think, at the supplemental. Great, great sign. Heard a lot of good things, and his stuff plays.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Last topic I want to get to for some unfortunate news. We'll pay a bit of a tribute here.
Wait, you got to go to Lees, though. I want to hear your thoughts on Talese. Rowdy.
Talese.
See, I'm bad at that, too.
That's okay. I've heard like six different pronunciations of his name. I like it. I've already been criticized for this tape. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say I like it, but like I have no problem with it. I'm not sitting here thinking.
If you're getting criticized, those are the same people. The names they were throwing out were unrealistic. Like this guy.
I know.
I didn't see this coming.
No, I didn't either.
Like it was a huge shock to me.
Yeah. You know why I crossed him off for it is because I thought with his arbitration projection and thus the Brewers non-tendering him, I thought he would cost a lot more than 3.2. I was surprised they got him for that.
Me too.
And I mean, the cost at 3.2 then, as opposed to what I figured would probably be upwards of 5, makes me think differently about him. Like, I don't necessarily want to pay a platoon guy 5 and change. I'll pay a platoon guy 3 and change, and that's what he is. And that's fine. But yeah.
He hit 55 homers the last 2 years. 55.
I think that number's off.
Is that off? It's 48.
35 plus 13. That's all right. I mean, it's still a lot of homers. Probably more than anybody else on the Pirates, right?
First 30 home run guy since what, Pedro Alvarez in a Pirates uniform? Yeah.
Would be. Yeah. Again, in what they're trying to do here, I'm trying to pull up my story that has some of the numbers in it, but it doesn't matter. I'll get us there basically. I mean, Talese hits right-handed pitching extremely well. Joe hits right-handed pitching or left-handed pitching very well. If you capitalize on both of those things, it adds up to like between 780 and 800 OPS that you're getting for $5 million. Objectively, that is very good. At the end of this deal, or let's say this happens. At the end of this season, if we say the Pirates first baseman, those two combined, played 150 games, had a 797 OPS, and they sucked up $5.4 million in salary, you would say that's a win. You would unabashedly, that's a win. I don't care how we got there. Scratch out the names. That doesn't matter. But if that's what the production is, and there's no guarantee of that, sure, like Talese can be hurt, Joe can be hurt, they might both stink, I don't know. I mean, there's uncertainty through everything. And I don't understand the people, like when I've argued with people about this, I say like, well, what option did you want? They'll say like Reese Hoskins. Yeah, great. So would I. Love Reese Hoskins. Like, it just doesn't make sense if you accept what they're going to spend. And then the next argument is generally like, well, the payroll should be $120 million. I'm like, okay, that's another fallacy. Not fallacy, but it's like it's another argument that we can sit here and debate what it should be and what we want it to be. It's not. That's not going to happen. So within reality, what move can you make? It's the point I made previously. Like, You can go get Reese Hoskins, and then you're probably screwed on pitching. So why do I care about who plays first base if the ball keeps going over the fence? Or if, you know, I...
Yeah, but it goes back to that profile too, Mackie. Like, the other name I saw was the guy out in Colorado.
Crone.
Both guys are pull power hitters.
Yeah.
At the biggest left-handed... or left field ballpark in baseball. Like, that's not a good move. Like, if they had Oppo Pop, we've seen righties come here and demolish balls to right center. And it could be an advantage because then, you know, they stay on the ball a little better. They do this. But, like, those guys don't profile good here. So, like, you're going to pay a fortune for these guys that have been playing at ballparks that play to their advantage. You're going to pay for what you've seen and what you know. And they're not those guys in this ballpark. You can just look at the numbers, period. And that's what I love about this signing. First off, his name's outstanding. I mean, Rowdy, right? It's outstanding. He's hilarious if you've never talked to him, Mackie.
I've heard. Absolutely hilarious.
So I think he's going to be a great fit for this young group. He keeps it loose. He doesn't care if he hits off the bench. He doesn't care if he swings and miss. He doesn't care if he hits a homer. He just loves the game, and he wants to go out and win. And I respect that. And he's done a little bit of all of it. So I think He's a great fit. I did not see it coming, and I think it's a home run for the Pirates.
I got a scouting report from some Brewers writers that I know, and I can't wait. I can't wait for it.
Yeah,
I'm so excited.
It's another great human being signing.
Yep. But they said he's got a hell of a sense of humor, that it's going to be really fun.
That's like, awesome.
I am ready for it. And I'm also ready, as people know, I love calling Andrew Destin Rowdy. And so if I can introduce Rowdy to Rowdy, oh, that's going to be delightful, buddy. Rowdy Tellez is going to enjoy it. But anyway, yeah, I have zero problem with it. And then like some of the other pushback that I've gotten said, well, they don't have a future plan at first base. Okay, well, like, how much were you looking to address that free agency anyway? I didn't hate the Josh Naylor thing if that would have come together, but like, this is also $3 million. You don't have to give up anything. I agree, they need a future path here. The injury also makes me think about maybe Endy at first base if Henry would sort of get a stranglehold on the catching situation. I don't know. This also allows maybe Jared Triolo to get a little bit more time. Like if Connor Joe does something else, remember he can play the outfield. If Triolo gets hot, maybe that's a place you house his bat. I don't know. There's always a lot of moving parts in baseball, and I don't see them solving their future problems at first base via one move. And you know, it's $3 million to take a shot. I'm not that broken up about it.
And Sade as well. He's controllable.
Who's that?
Rowdy. Right, he's got one more.
I think he's ARB eligible. I think this is really his last year of ARB, then he's a free agent. Yeah, almost positive.
Wow.
I mean, it's not to mean you can't keep him around if you really like him. If he does right. well,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
It is legal.
I thought he had at least a year left.
It is legal to keep guys. I promise.
It is. It is.
And I hope it works out. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Didn't work out for our buddy Robbie. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say our buddy. I mean, I don't really even like him. No. Robbie's a good guy, man. He is. I think he does a good job. I think he adds a really nice amount of levity to being around the team. I think he's – Charrington has used a line, and I've stolen it a couple times, and I like it. Somebody who takes their work seriously but not themselves too seriously. And I've found being over in baseball, you need to do that. Like, it's important, but if you can't laugh at yourself, man, it's going to be a long season. And I feel like Robbie does that extremely well. He's not going to be a part of the Sportsnet Pittsburgh thing. They're going to go in a different direction, but I've enjoyed working with Robbie. We share a lot of the same space interviewing players, and I found him to be nothing but nice, courteous, fun, genuine, all these things, and I will absolutely miss him.
I completely agree on all fronts, and I probably wouldn't be right here today, Mackie, if it wasn't for Robbie. When I got hurt in 13, which was his first year, he decided to ask me if I would want to fill in for Teague for a day. I ended up doing it for 11 days, and he pushed and pushed, said I'd be good at it, and I'm forever I'm forever grateful. And I think that's the one thing that they don't realize that they're missing is his ability to kind of just be a part of the game in the clubhouse. He just kind of flies under the radar. Guys respond to him well because he doesn't ask too much. He doesn't push too much. He's gotten really close with guys in the past because, you know, he is who he is. And like you said, he takes his job seriously, but he didn't take himself too seriously. And he'll land on his feet. I'm going to miss him, especially all the stupid jokes that we played on each other and the practical jokes he would have around the office consistently when he was never there. So I'm going to miss
him. Yeah, no, I didn't know he was a big part of you getting your start.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah.
That's news.
Well, that means you just never asked because he loves to tell the story, which is great. It's absolutely outstanding. And
maybe I'm just a bad reporter. I don't know. I had never heard that before.
Yeah. He's the one that asked and,
out of nowhere, like you had never thought of it. He just approached.
No, I would have never done it ever. Really? Like I was terrified to talk in front of people at a young age and doing an interview. I would be sweating bullets to even think about trying it was not even on my radar. Like I had no intent to be on the media side after I got done playing, but he opened up a door. I enjoyed it. And they literally used that tape to say, hey, this guy should come in and interview. And that's why I went and interviewed. So, Huge part.
You did one day and it ended up becoming 11?
Yeah, so I was going to fill in one day, and then I don't know what happened, but whoever was going to come in couldn't. And they're like, you want to do it the whole time? And I was on crutches because I was hurt, so I couldn't travel with the team. So I crutched down to the studio, did the work, watched the game while I was doing rehab, and really enjoyed it. Like, it was such an awesome moment for me, Mackie, in a very tough time. You know, 2013, I'm just hitting stride. I had a great first month and really shouldn't.
You broke your microphone, Fort.
I did it again. I'm sorry. Look at me. Twice. I got excited again, Mackie.
I know. Quit getting excited and breaking equipment. I'll start calling you Andrew Destin.
Can you hear me?
I got you now. So 2013 was not a great time for you. You were hurt. That's where we lost you.
Yeah. And during that time, he came up to me. I'm in kind of probably crutching around, a little bit of Igor-esque around the clubhouse, doing the best I can to help whoever I can. And he asked, and I didn't want to. My wife pushed. He could not stop asking me. So I did it. I enjoyed it. And I'm here today because of it. So that dark time turned into a huge light in my life.
That's really cool.
Pretty cool stuff.
Glad. Yeah. I'm selfishly glad he did that. I think you do a fantastic job. I enjoy hosting this with you, and you can pay me $50 later for saying that, because, you know, I need some money. Do you not hear that?
This thing hate. No, but I'm going to assume that you were just saying how great I look on camera.
Yeah, that's it.
I've just done a great job of growing. Yeah.
Something,
if you
wouldn't have
said
like
anything
that
about the tech stuff, it would have been fine. You jinxed me. You wizard.
Three strikes, by the way. You're out.
That was a foul tip.
That's all right. All right, that's all we got for this week anyway, at least until the next news dump and emergency podcast where we will reemerge. We do love this, though. We talk about this stuff before the podcast, after the podcast, in between the podcast. So it's not really work. We enjoy it. So anyway, thank you for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe. You can catch all the content, not only from Fort and I, but from many different Post-Gazette beats, Steelers, Penguins, Pitt, high schools, all the fun stuff. But until next week, we will talk to you right back here in the same place.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
Awesome. Good stuff.
All right, everybody.
Appreciate it.